You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet.
The referee letting play continue. One last throw.
It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but
Scales is up after it. Scales wins ahead of
I'll have that forever.
Inner Drive, Episode 1 with Troy Parrott, out now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Allianz, a proud sponsor of Irish sport.
Off the ball.
Off the ball daily.
Okay, I'm delighted to say that we are here in Budapest. It is Champions League final day. We are at the Just Eat, home of champions, at the Champions Deserve event. And there's no bigger champion, really, in the history of the Champions League than a man who's won it with three different clubs, Clarence Seedorf. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well. One of the things that I always think about you, Clarence, is that you can talk to a kid who's only started watching football in the last couple of years, and they'll still probably be able to tell you something about the Ajax team of 1995. Because of how amazing you guys were and how fresh that still feels over 30 years on, why do you think that team still lingers positively in the memory?
Well, first of all, the kids of today are so privileged to have the possibility to connect with the generation they didn't see life due to, you know, all the gamings and the world around football. I think it's a privilege for us that our, you know, life has extended due to the digital world that connects us still with the youngest generation, and it's beautiful that they connect, and when they see how we play, then they appreciate it still, and they go back. And of course, we had amazing talent in that team, and it really transcends, like many generations before us as well. You know, any generation is just amazing when you can connect with great football and great talents.
Who was the greatest talent on that team?
Oh, well, I think we had an abundance of incredible talents. I mean, to start with my brother from another mother, Patrick Kluivert. You had Edgar Davids. You had Frank Rijkaard. You had and if I need to name one, Frank Rijkaard was of course the man, and that team. And then you had Jari Littman and Finidi George Overmars. I mean, we could just continue and pick.
Yes.
Amazing squads. Edwin van der Sar. So, yeah, I think that that out of that generation, most individuals had an amazing career.
Yeah. You called him your brother from another mother, Patrick Kluivert. When you're on the bench watching him score that winning goal in that final, do you get an extra sense of pride and an extra sense of joy seeing Kluivert score the winning goal?
We grew up together since we were 10, so you can imagine. There is like there's like minus 100 of jealousy. There's no jealousy. I mean, there's like only love and respect and admiration. And when he scored that goal and being still the one that made that difference that day is a great feeling. And we celebrated it properly.
Go on, tell us more.
Oh, I don't know if I can go in all details, but well, we really celebrated for a whole week. I remember on the boats, you know, in the canals and canals, and it was really special seeing Patrick scoring that goal, being able to celebrate it with my idol Frank Rijkaard, and being part of the squad, having been part of the squad. In a prominent way the whole year at such a young age, that is a privilege. So arriving, you know, with the airplane over the Museumplein and seeing, you know, millions of people just gathered to, you know, celebrate with us this amazing victory.
For sure. It was that amazing Dutch midfield. Come 1998, it split up a little bit. You're on an opposing side to Edgar Davids at this stage. It's you versus Davids versus Zidane as well. When you see those two guys lining up against you ahead of the Champions League final in 1998, what are the emotions like? I'm sure there's plenty of confidence because you're wearing the Real Madrid jersey at that point, and you know that you guys tend to win quite a lot of Champions Leagues.
Yeah, I never tended to focus on the adversaries when I was playing, really. I was always focused on our own team, my own game, imposing my game. So being in the space of self-confidence and conviction, and we were the underdogs, by the way. Juventus was an incredible squad, and we pulled it off. It was a tight game. Could have gone both sides, but I think luck was on our side as well. And also, we were very determined to make something happen. It was like 36 years without that trophy. So the Settima, as you know, has a special place in for the Madridistas.
Can I ask you about 2003? Because 2003 was actually brought up in the conversation in Ireland around the Paris Saint-Germain Bayern Munich, amazing match in the semi-final. And people were saying, you know, there was no good defending happening in Paris Saint-Germain versus Bayern Munich. Yeah. 2003, that Champions League final was the high watermark of good defending in Champions League finals. Do you think there's beauty to be found in that sort of final that you guys played out in 2003?
Yeah, for sure. I think that Paris against the Bayern, it was a one-sided game where attack only, but football is both, and I think the balance of both is what makes a difference. And finals generally are very tight. When Paris won against Inter Milan, we know that Inter Milan didn't present themselves in that game. Then unfortunately, I could not enjoy that final. But without taking anything away from Paris Saint-Germain, that is an amazing squad with great players, amazing coach. Really respect Luis Enrique as well. But the fact is that the balance of knowing how to defend and also be half a chance. It could be a goal, and sometimes there was no chance and you scored a goal. So that kind of level of game is what I was used to when you started getting in the quarterfinals, semifinals. I remember against Manchester Man United, we were 8 goals, but a total maybe 10 chances over the 2 matches. So, and that is quality, right? And but then also 1-0. Only or penalties that makes a difference. Tight games in finals, I think we'll see probably one again tonight.
Yeah. Well, that's good news for Arsenal, right?
That's good news for Arsenal. We're playing the best attack against the best defense. And that is not defense in terms of they are defensive as a team. Mm-hmm. They know how to defend properly from front to back. Arsenal knows how to defend, keep the zero. Paris, in my opinion, a little bit less this year, but what an attack. Paris can create chances any time of the day, so that's going to be the clash that I'm looking forward to see.
Yeah. Do you have a prediction?
I don't think we're going to see a lot of goals, but I think Arsenal, not because they're better necessarily, but I think there is something in the air for Arsenal.
Right.
But Paris is such an unpredictable squad with the strikers they have and the quality they have. So if Paris doesn't score quick, it will tend to go towards Arsenal, in my opinion. If Paris scores quick, then Arsenal needs to start coming out, then it might be Paris.
Yeah, we might have the tension of 2003 all over again. You have been listening to Clarence Seedorf here at the Home of Champions, brought to you by Just Eat. Clarence, a pleasure to chat to you. Enjoy the game. Thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Off the Ball Daily.